As we forgive those.
Good morning, everyone. Well, this morning, since we've now officially started our grace race, which I have to confess, I didn't ask Clark's permission to use his image on the pace car. So there may be some fallout from that, but it was a risk I was willing to take. I thought that it might be useful, since we're now doing the grace race and we're really wanting everybody to kind of up your game even just a little bit more with your Bible intake, I thought that it might be useful to remind everyone that there are a lot of different ways, a lot of different formats that you can take in the Word of God into your life. Now, back in September, when we first kind of kicked off the whole idea of Grace Reads, we had some papers that were available for you that had different modes of Bible intake. There's a poster on the wall that still has these, and we can get some more of those out in the paper form if you'd like. But they're all viable methods for being in the Word. And it talks about you can read, you can hear, you can memorize, you can meditate, there's different ways that you can do study, you can discuss. And they're all viable methods for being in God's Word. And for the time being, at least, every one of those is a great way for you to report as minutes for the Grace Race, for our challenge that we're doing as a group. As a congregation, we want to smash that 200,000 point goal and you know, see how poorly we set that goal. Like I'm eagerly anticipating that we're going to have to move the goalposts a little bit more and say, well, this wasn't challenging at all. We totally underestimated you guys. So the first that I want to talk about this morning is hearing the Word. And unless you are part of the 3.6% of Americans who are hearing impaired in some way or another, this is the simplest way for you to intake the Word. But I was talking with Leslie this morning, and she said even for people who are hearing impaired, like Johnny, they've now translated the entire Bible into ASL. And so even if you are deaf, you can hear the Word. And it's the simplest way to receive Bible intake. 1 Timothy 4:13 is my first verse for this morning, and it says this: "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." You know, the clear implication is present in this command that Paul gives to his protege, Timothy. Because if somebody's reading out loud, there's a reasonable assumption that somebody is listening to them read out loud, right? So what does hearing the Word look like? Because it takes a lot of different forms, and I want to go over some of them. There is literally just listening to the Word being read. It can be another person reading it to you. It can be live. It can be in person. It can be recordings. There are endless options to hear the Word of God being read. Some of them are just plain readings, like on the Bible app. If you are an NIV, a King James, an ESV, there's a huge assortment of translations that are in the Bible app. And there's a function where you can listen to it. I've done that a lot, where I will listen. Sometimes I'll listen and read at the same time, and it's a way to engage different parts of my brain at the same time. Some of them, actually, like Streetlights, it'll have reading with cool music in the background. Like this, listen right here. This is Joshua 6.
"Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out, or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times, with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast of the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priest and said, take up the ark of the Lord.
Right? That's a different way to listen to it, right? And in some ways, like, that'll keep your attention a little bit differently, and it adds some flavor to it that's kind of fun. There's others that they'll do a more dramatic reading where they'll do different voices for different parts, and sometimes they'll even add in special effects. Like this one here is a kind of a dramatic reading.
Chapter 6. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua,
see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark.
So it's a different way of doing it. It's not as, you know, but it adds a little bit of flavor to it. And so if just hearing somebody read to you is going to put you to sleep, this is another way that you could listen to the word. There's podcasts. All sorts of different providers have podcasts where passages of Scripture are explained, they're read, they're described. Some of them do a deep dive, and they get into, like, you know, parsing verbs and diagramming sentences, and others just talk about, you know, this is how I should feel about, you know, shopping, and they keep it on a more social level. There's no shortage of podcasts that you can listen to that help kind of draw more out of the Bible for you. I've mentioned before the Bible Project videos that are on YouTube and other video providers. This is one clip. It's also about Joshua.
The book of Joshua. Let's back up and remember the story so far. So God chose Abraham, and then his family became the people of Israel, who are then enslaved down in Egypt. And so through Moses, God rescued Israel out of Egypt. He made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai, and he brought them through the wilderness. So Israel then camped outside the promised land, and Moses called them to obey God's commands so that they could show all the other nations what God is like. The book of Joshua picks up right after Moses has died and Israel's ready to enter the land. So the story of Joshua is designed with 4 main movements. Joshua first leads Israel into the promised land, and then...
And so those are pretty good. There's also a visual element in those as well, but you can just get that playing and you can listen to that, you know, while you're doing, you know, folding laundry or whatever else you're doing. There's a lot of different ways to listen and hear the word. You know what you're doing right now? You're listening to the word. Sermons count as listening to the word. So right now, technically, you are listening to the word. And so I hope you're reporting this on your Grace Report, your Grace Reads reports. And for thousands of years, this, what we're doing right now, is how God's word was handled. It was listened to. It wasn't until the invention of the printing press did this become one of the primary sources for Bible intake. If you look in Nehemiah chapter 8, there's this very well-known passage where they're completing the wall around Jerusalem, and Ezra is called to come and read the book of the law to the people. And for a long time, there's been a lot of attention placed on Nehemiah 8, and you might be familiar with it because there for a while, it was a big thing to talk about the reverence for the word. And a lot of congregations and a lot of youth groups, for me at the time, you know, anytime that the word was read, you know what they would have everybody do? Stand up. Because they would talk about how, you know, they, as he opened it up, everybody stood and listened, but That's not the part of Nehemiah 8 that I want to focus on this morning. What I'm talking about is right after that. And so chapter 8, we're starting here in verse 7. Do I have five there? Okay. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. No, I'm joking. Ezra praised the Lord and the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen. Amen. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. But the Levites, and this is the part that I think is significant for us today, the Levites, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, and Peliah. It's a mouthful, isn't it? That's why I go through it fast. Then you don't have time to think, was that right? You just go through it quickly. They instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. If you go back to verses 1 through 3, you'll see that the ears of the people were attentive to the word of the Lord, which is just a poetic way of saying they were listening. But it continues, and it talks about how the Levites instructed the people, making it clear, giving the clear meaning, so that the people understood what was being read. That sounds a lot like a sermon, doesn't it? It doesn't go into more specifics than that, but I'm pretty sure that the people probably asked questions. And the Levites probably used stories and illustrations and poetic language. They explained the scriptures after they were read aloud so that people could understand them. Somebody at one point, they may have pulled out some PowerPoint slides. They had somebody named Michaelius or Draconius Kimius helping them. Might have been a flannel graph involved. But I'll tell you what comes to my mind when I think about this, about the way that the Levites were explaining the scriptures to them. It reminds me a little bit of when John the Baptist is preaching in John chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And as he's preaching this message of repentance to the people, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, people from all walks of life are asking him, but what about us? What about me? How do tax collectors live a repentant life? What does the fruit of repentance look like for a tax collector? Or what about me? I'm a baker, or we're teachers, or I'm a parent, I'm a child. What does it look like for us? It says that the crowd asked, what shall we do? What about us? And the questions that they were asking were really good because they understood something about the Christian life that many people miss. They're asking, how does my life need to look different because of this truth? How does my life need to change? What adjustments do I need to make in how I'm doing things now so that I bear fruit in keeping with repentance? If we aren't asking that question, we're missing the point of listening to and hearing the Word of God. Jesus said it himself in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. He said, blessed rather are those who hear the word and obey. Merely listening to the word and not humbling yourself to it. Hearing, but not making any adjustments in your life is a bit pointless. It's purposeless. It's just a checklist. It's busy work. The point isn't for me to find myself eventually a master of this book, but for me to find that this book eventually has mastery over me. That's why we read and listen and study and get into these pages. We listen so that we get better acquainted with the word. So that when we do become more acquainted, it makes us better equipped to follow him, and then the results show up in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit begins to manifest themselves in us, and we start to resemble Christ more in our speech, in our thoughts, in our choices. This is a good thing when that happens. I can't begin to tell you how many times people have told me some variation of this next phrase. I don't need to go to church to praise God. I can worship him on the golf course, the ball field, and on the lake just as well, if not better than in church. Now, part of that I agree with. We can worship God in any context, even in a jail cell, right? Including all of those places that we just talked about, that people claim to be able to worship him instead of being in church. And while an argument over how much those people may or may not actually spend time worshiping God in those venues may be unproductive, it is hard to separate worship of God from the attention given to the Word of God, such as we do in church. Hearing the word is worship. Changing our life to reflect the Son is worship. Hearing the word and modeling our life around it is worship. So hear the words of the Lord and adjust your lives accordingly. One last word on hearing. There are those of you for whom reading is difficult. There is no end to the number of reading disabilities that people struggle with. There's a whole spectrum. And one thing that's kind of interesting that some people don't know is that for some people at different levels of dyslexia, the Bible app has a special font that is used that some people who have dyslexia can actually read. It tapers into places, and they did some studies and they figured out that this actually helps some people who have dyslexia. But listening using apps, cassettes, CDs, MP3s, just having somebody else read it to you is a great solution for some of you who just reading is hard. But if you need options for reading, if you really do want to read it, Sarah, would you wave at everybody? Sarah Joyce would love, L-O-V-E, all caps, underlined in bold, italicized, to share with you resources that she has collected to help people who have different reading struggles to get into the Word. She's found a bunch of stuff, and she would love to share that with you. So there's our little practical nugget for you. The second intake that I want to talk about this morning is memorizing the word. So So the practice of memorizing scripture, I feel like, has kind of gone the way of the encyclopedia, the dictionary, and phone books, right? The ownership of smartphones and the ready access that we have to the vast riches of knowledge on the internet can sort of temper any feelings of necessity to memorize much of anything. You know, kids today have no idea how many phone numbers that we memorized as a kid. We knew everybody's phone number. But if I have all of that in my pocket, if I can just Google it, well, I have at least two apps, maybe more, that can accomplish what I need to do in about 34 seconds, right? Then why memorize scripture? Well, let's try an experiment. Country Road, Take Me Home. Okay, yeah. Whoa. I'm halfway there. Just a small town girl. So what just happened there? That was so strange. How did you know where I was going? What was coming next? Yeah. I hope, and I think you'll find this fascinating. When Jesus was on the cross near his final breath, he quoted a portion of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? And all the people who were there witnessing, they mocked him and jeered him. And man, if you really were God's man, if you really were God, you'd save yourself, right? And we read those and we think, man, you know, why did God do that? Why did he withdraw himself and pull away from the Son and make him, you know, suffer that alone? But when Jesus said those words, where did it come from? It came from Psalm 22. What are the Psalms? They're songs, right? Some of them were more popular than others. And it's my belief that they would have known this song. And they would have known what song it was. You know, they were mocking him because in their eyes, God had forsaken him and he was being punished for his insolence and his heresy. Except that when you read Psalm 22 and you get past the opening line that Jesus is reading, and if you get to verse 24, it says this: for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. That totally changes that, doesn't it? So when he says that line, how many Jews do you think went, oh, living on a prayer? And when people wonder and they don't like God because he abandoned Jesus on the cross that day, what they don't understand is he didn't. If we knew the lyrics to Psalm 22 well enough, we would have known that. The men mocking Jesus would have known that song well enough. He was telling them that even in these last moments, when it looks like he has forsaken me, he's not hidden his face from me. He has listened to my cry for help. There are times when memorizing scripture is incredibly valuable. It's a good thing to have these verses floating around in your melon. Because sometimes they help us make connections to other passages found in other books. I've been looking forward to sharing this. I know that there'll be glare, so I put it up there as well. Do you know what this is? Anybody? I know you don't know, because and Dylan knows. So the white and gray down at the bottom, those are all the different books of the Bible. And the colors that bounce back and forth, those are all cross-references in the Bible, where you have an Old Testament passage that connects to another Old Testament passage, or an Old Testament passage that connects all the way in Revelation. And these are all the different ways in which the Bible is not a simple book. These are all the ways that the Bible is connected to itself. And I guarantee you, one of those lines goes from Psalm 22 to Luke. You never know what verse might be connected to another and shine a whole new light on your understanding. A second value to memorizing can be, it can be a deterrent when we face temptation. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Even Jesus used memorization for this reason himself. I refer you to Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is tempted by Satan for 40 days in the wilderness. And when he's there, when Satan tempts him and says, you know, he picks up a stone that looks kind of like a roll or a bull, and he says, when you're hungry, just turn the stone into bread. Do you think Jesus was like, well, here, hold on a second, here's Deuteronomy. Let me find the verse where it says, oh yeah, right here. You think that's where he said man does not, how he went about saying man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God? No, it was already here. And it came out here because it was also here. He had committed those words to memory. Chris, since you said my name earlier, I'm going to use yours. Chris and D, I want you to do rock, paper, scissors real quick. First time, so rock, paper, scissors, shoot, and it's on the first one, whoever wins. Okay, go ahead. Okay, it's Chris 1. So, one of these, this one right here, I've already cycled it, and there is a Nerf dart already in, and it's ready. Like, all you have to do to shoot this one is pull the trigger. This one here, you have to rack it back. That'll put the air in the chamber and cycle this so that there's a dart. I'm going to have you guys duel. Which one do you want? He asked D. Good choice. Yes, right. Yeah, everybody knows which one you want, right? Yeah. D's like, I want the loaded one. Right? That's a no-brainer, right? There's a lot of value in having something ready to fire right off the bat. There is a readiness present in memorizing the Word of God. Sometimes timing is of the essence, right? You know, what I need right now is a verse, the truth of God, not a Google search. Now, I want to temper that with, you know, by His own promise, God has said that there are times when by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, He will call to mind scriptures that you had honestly probably forgotten about. You had read or studied them in times past, or you had heard them in a different context, and he will bring them to the forefront of your mind, and he will rescue you in your rescuing of someone else. He will bail you out in as you are trying to bail them out. That does happen. But how much better is it if we don't have to rely on supernatural intervention? Or that when we do rely on the Spirit, that we have this vast resource for God to choose from because we've made ourselves so familiar with his words that he can pick and choose. Third, it's just useful to carry wisdom with you wherever you go. It just makes life easier. I can't tell you how many times Tyler Schallenberger has said to me, it's like what my dad always says. You've heard it before, haven't you? It's like what my dad always says. And then he gives a bit of advice or wisdom or an observation that he's learned from Troy. Either Troy has said it so many times that he just can't not know it, or it was true enough that Tyler was like, man, I'm going to remember that. That's good. And he memorizes that nugget of truth to be able to access it whenever the need arises. Proverbs 22:17-19 says, pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply to your heart what I teach. For it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips. That's what Jesus did with Satan. He had knowledge already in his heart, so it was ready on his lips when he needed it. And I promise you, it will be helpful for you as well. So what should you memorize? You know, ideally, memorize the whole thing, right? Then you have all of it ready at all the time. You don't even need to carry one of these around. The only difference is you can't highlight in your head. That's the only difference. But that, you know, that's obviously not practical. A little ambitious. As a recommendation, we've got these papers in the lobby. They're at the Grace Read Station. And just as some examples, there's almost nothing that you would memorize that would be bad for you. Like, not going to be harmful. They're all going to be good for you. There are some things that are not going to be as useful, obviously, but just as some encouragement, as some examples, we have these sheets out there in the lobby. Like, one thing that's good to memorize and valuable is to memorize verses that have to do with doctrine. You know, these are verses that have to do with core beliefs of the church about faith, about God, about man, about sin and salvation. And you know, sometimes in a world like we are in today, where much which has always been accepted to be true is now being questioned and rejected and rewritten, and it's helpful to have verses like that as anchors for your soul that keep you firmly girded to the truth so that you don't end up wandering into unsafe territory. So sometimes memorizing simple things these are just simple truths about life, about the world, about the universe, about the origin of mankind, the dignity of mankind. In 1 Timothy 6, he says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in doing so, they've departed from the faith. That's a dangerous threat. So doctrine is valuable to be memorized. Words of encouragement. Who doesn't like to be reminded of some encouraging truth from Scripture? Like, it might be something like in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. Or, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world, from 1 John 4:4. Or, the Lord is the light of my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? From Psalm 27:1. You might choose to memorize scriptures that have to do with salvation. I mean, you never know when you might have a conversation that you'd never expected to happen, and somebody was like, I just don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I know I've got stuff in my life. What do I do? Well, be able to rattle off some verses about salvation. John 3:16 and 3:36. John 8:24. You know, anyone who does not believe, if you do not believe I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins, and the wrath of God is upon you. There's Mark 16:16. There's all sorts of good verses to memorize that would help you lead that person to a saving knowledge of Christ. You can learn about the promises of God. You can, you know, pray to the Lord to guide you what verses that you need to memorize. You can ask friends, what verses have you memorized? And maybe pick some of those. There's all sorts of ways to figure out what to memorize. But if you aren't currently doing so, this is a great time to start. You may even find something worth memorizing, worth coming to memory as you do your own reading. You come across and you're like, oh, that's a good verse. I like that. I want to memorize that. We've got these papers out on the table at the Grace Read Station. Every 2 weeks, we're going to put out another verse. We've got it here in NIV, ESV, and King James. Because we know that people like, you know, memorizing different versions. And obviously, you can get it in other versions. You've got ready access to that. But we just want to encourage you. Every 2 weeks, we're going to put out another verse for people to memorize. And we hope you'll grab one of those. This one is from Matthew 4:4. We've already talked about Jesus being tempted, and his answer was a quote from Deuteronomy, where he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so, that's 50 points, by the way, just saying. Turn in those read reports, people. Can't let Clark beat us. He's keeping us accountable. That's what he is. He's accountable Clark. That's what he is. I've also put a link in the newsletter. There was a little blurb in there. It's this newsletter. It's an email program. If you're somebody whose email inbox does not look like mine, this could be valuable for you. You sign up, and every 2 days they send you a reminder to do this, to do your memory work. And it starts out, has a whole thing, and then they start taking away words, and so that might be a way. There's Bible apps that you can do. I've got a couple I could refer you to, but memorizing is a fairly personal thing. Each person memorizes, you know, successfully using different methods. So experiment, find one that works, dive in. But I want to share a final word for you, because I want to give you some encouragement for Grace Reads. Because this week, in particular, I received a number of messages and phone calls where, and this is interesting to me, people are struggling a little bit. People are starting to feel like, man, I'm never going to understand the Bible. And that can feel defeating. Or this is just so hard, I just struggle. And I want to share with you this quote from J.I. Packer, who said, if I were the devil, one of my first aims would to stop folk from digging into the Bible, knowing that it is the Word of God, teaching men to know and love and serve the God of the Word. I should do all I could to surround it with the spiritual equivalent of pits, thorn hedges, and man traps to frighten people off. At all costs, I should want to keep them from using their minds in a disciplined way to get the measure of its message. And so for those of you who are struggling and like you're feeling attacked, and you got some oppression that's coming against you, because we have an enemy who does not want you to be in the Word And he counts it as success anytime he distracts you and takes you away from it. I have this final scripture for you from 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So be in the Word this week, my friends. Be in the Word. 4 times or more, right? Got that power of 4. Be in the Word. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. You are a kind and generous God who did not have to reveal his will to us, but because you are gracious beyond our ability to understand, we have access to your truth anytime we need it. Help us, Father, to be disciplined. And that's one of the ways that we honor you. And so we know, Father, that you've told us that if we seek you, if we draw near to you, that you will in turn draw near to us. And so I pray, Father, that your words will come alive for everyone who puts themselves to the task of listening, reading, studying, discussing, all the different ways that we can make use of this precious gift you've given us. Make it come alive for us. Open our minds and help us to draw the rich truth that is held within those words. We thank you, Father. We are so privileged to know you. We thank you for your Son. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.